This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Tom Romilly.
Jane Bolton.
Colleen Romilly.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Tom, we were talking about... First, you were at the end of the last recording, you described your work on the Snowy River project. You then moved to another one, I believe.
Yeah, I moved into the Yappy Yarra Dam, which is a dam outside, well, it's on that Yarra River, not far from Warburton, which is north of Melbourne, and it's run by the Melbourne Metropolitan Board of Works.
Okay.
So I was employed by the Melbourne Metropolitan Board of Works.
So is that a smaller project than...
No, yeah, much smaller, but a big dam, just the same. It's an earth-filled dam.
Okay.
Lots of people there.
And so you were all again in a large camp, were you?
Yeah.
So how did that function? Did it have much in the way of facilities, or you were just in wooden huts and...
Yeah, little wooden two-man huts.
Yeah. Were they comfortable?
Well, there was just a bed in it.
Yeah, warm, cold, heating. Did you need heating? No, you were there
in
cooling.
They were there. Summertime.
Melbourne is quite a cooler place, much cooler than perhaps other parts of Australia. But I never felt the cold. We didn't get much rain either.
But you had a communal dining room.
Because
they had the cooking facility and everything.
Was there any entertainment for you there when you were working? Nothing at all?
Only a pub down the road.
Yeah. So there wasn't even a sort of common room where you could get together and play cards and play a bit of pool with people? Or
no.
No? Place where you could kick a football around with your mates?
Of course, no.
Nothing at all? What about shower facilities?
Oh, yeah, they had a shower.
Yeah, and laundry, there was a
communal
laundry.
Communal shower.
Okay, so it was just a whole load of guys in this camp and that's it? Or were there any women there as well?
No.
Male cooks and everything, yeah?
Yeah.
So did you get out very often?
Yeah, well...
When you weren't working, did
when
you?
When you weren't working, you could go down to Warburton or a bit later on. If you had a long weekend, perhaps if you're lucky enough to have a long weekend, you could go down to Melbourne.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it wasn't that far away.
Okay.
Warburton was probably 20 mile away.
Oh, okay.
And it was quite a township, a bit bigger than Ashurst.
Tom, how did you get to Melbourne if you're going? Was there a train or just cars?
You could go by train or bus.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly if we went down there, we went by car. Somebody had a car or something like that could go down there.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, at that place... Is that the place where you just had a sleeping bag to sleep in? You didn't have anyone to make your bed or anything.
No.
So, consequently, I don't think that the sleeping bag was washed or laundered very often. You just hopped in and out of the sleeping bag endlessly, which is what I understood you had experienced. Is that right?
Mm.
Yeah. And who was your flatmate that time?
That time, an Italian. Vittorio.
Yeah.
Vittorio, he couldn't speak English. So he was a great mate.
Yeah.
I couldn't speak Italian. And he was on a different shift to me, so he'd be sleeping when I was getting up, and I'd be sleeping when he was making a noise, bloody well getting up.
Yeah. Keeping you awake. And was he the one who liked Maria Lanza and liked cooking his own food in the house?
Maria
as well?
Lanza.
Yeah.
He had a...
Wind up
anything with this long playing Mario Lanza thing.
He had one record that he played
out. From
over
one memory, one record.
Seemed like
I bet
it.
You loved
probably
it.
Seemed like it.
And do you still enjoy listening to Mario Lanza?
Go away. And he used to cook his own meals.
Ah.
I don't say all his meals, but some of his meals.
So,
and he had a one-bar heater.
Your eyes,
right? He used to tip it up on its side like
okay.
that.
Yeah.
And he put a frying pan on the top of it.
Okay.
And there he'd cook his.
So did you develop a taste for Italian food?
No.
No.
Do you eat noodles now? Or?
No.
Don't no. even mention it, Jane.
You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was a bit of a character. Yeah, so... that was an interesting job. Yeah, quite enjoyed that.
So how long were you working there?
About 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And wages? 45?
About the same. Mm.
Good wages.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're on shift work, so you've got a shift allowance and all that sort of kerfuffle. Mm. Which was unusual to me.
Is there any reason why you jumped around from one job to another?
Well, as I said, I had a reason to come home for my 21st.
But to go from, say, Snowy River to...
Well, I could have stayed there longer.
Yeah.
But I want to shift...
Explore.
Were there many young people just moving around like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a bit like the idea backpackers would go and do a bit of work here and a bit of earn their way around. So you were doing the same sort of thing, sort of your OE, really.
Yeah.
Tom, was the Upper Yarra the one where somebody put something in your sleeping bag?
Oh, yes. Bloody Aussies.
They haven't changed.
Got into
what did they do?
Into bed one night or morning, night, I can't remember now. Night, I think it was.
After work.
Yeah, after work.
So what happened?
Something cold in the bottom of the bed. What the bloody hell's that? And here's a bloody snake.
Oh.
It was dead. It was dead.
Oh, a dead snake.
Yeah, but I didn't know that, did I?
You leave and be hurrying
about this life. Just a grass snake here.
Now, so was it the sort of people were doing pranks on each other and you had an idea who it might be and you did something in return you'd done something first?
You see, the thing is, you're a Kiwi, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kiwis and Aussies always play pranks on one another.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what did you do then?
I can't remember what I did. I can't.
No, you never did anything. No, absolutely not.
Be honest, Tom.
Yeah.
He would have.
Yes, I can imagine.
Oh, no, there was all sorts of pranks played on one another. Another interesting thing is, you went there and you knew right from the word go, this was this place. You had two lives. If you misbehaved, you got a warning. The second time, you were out. Straight to that. You had an hour to get out.
Wow.
Leave the premises.
So what was misbehaving?
Arriving at work drunk.
Yep.
Which some people did. Misbehaving somewhere along the line in some way.
Doing something dangerous?
Something like that.
Okay.
2 hours. Two times, yeah.
Two ones, yeah.
But that wasn't why you left.
No.
You sure? The sack.
No.
Yeah.
Well, they had a bank there. You could go and bank your wages and that sort of thing. There was a bank there.
So did you manage to save much in your time there?
Oh, yeah, you saved a bit, but because I wanted to do a bit of travelling around when I'd finished, which I did.
Yeah.
On your own time or with the Aussie you met over here?
No. I'd been gone from him now.
Okay.
Although I went back before I left and saw him and his mother before I went.
So was he still on strike then?
No, he wasn't. He worked at a different place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, totally different.
Yeah. Oh, so he just said come over and fix up a different job.
Yeah,
that's good. Mm-hmm. Tom, was this family local? Was that how you met up with him in New Zealand?
Yeah, well, his brother lived in Ashurst.
Oh, okay.
Dez Johnson.
Yeah.
Remember Dez Bees, we used to call him? He used to work at the shop there with us.
Perhaps so.
And he used to have a bee farm That's why we called him Bees.
Oh, why not?
Funny then.
And his younger brother came. Yeah.
Oh, great.
So he was living with his mother, and they'd split up, his mother and father split up, although I'd met his father. But that's how I got there.
So, Tom, that was your last job at the state, was at the Yarra?
It was interesting that the shift that was on, there was 22 people in the shift, in the workshop. There was 19 countries represented.
Yeah. United Nations.
And about 18 languages spoken.
Virtually.
How does it communicate?
19 countries represented.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Incredible. I learnt quite a bit there because I was doing mostly welding and the repairs to machinery and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So I picked up quite a bit there.
Tom, some of the machinery was massive, wasn't it?
Yeah,
was heavy work.
Big industrial tractors and that sort of thing.
Huge
things, bigger than I'd ever seen before.
So were there some sort of very experienced people you were working with?
Were
they Italians? Because didn't the Italians come to New Zealand and they were down south when they put Manapouri in?
They were doing tunnels.
And they were doing... that thing from Tokanu, didn't they? You know, as you go over the desert road, you see those waterways.
There was all sorts of people here. There was... Mostly were... Italians, Lithuanians, Polish.
You said that before.
So when you left there, and you were travelling around Australia for how long?
No, not travelling around so much. I went down to Melbourne, and I went to the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, well done.
Three or four of us went. I was actually boarding in Melbourne then. In the old hotel.
Yeah. Did you back the winner?
No.
Tom, was that old hotel the one with the special painting that you...
You're thinking of Chloe.
Yeah, Chloe. And which hotel was that? So that
Young and Jackson's.
Right.
Right on the corner of Flinders Street and the main street of...
Just a tick.
I can't remember what the main street is now.
So there's a story behind
great big,
it.
There is a painting.
And it's a wall size, isn't it, dear?
Yeah, yes, you know. It's
a massive painting.
Yes, as high as that.
Of Chloe. About 2 metres high. Yeah.
More than that.
It'd be 3 metres.
Three metres high.
It's the size of a wall.
Of Chloe. So who's Chloe?
Who is Chloe?
Chloe is a nice young lass.
Was she clad or not?
Yes. Had some clothes on.
Not much, though, eh?
in this bar there, that's where the meeting place where all the New Zealanders used to meet up. If there was any New Zealanders, you'd find them in there.
In Chloe's bar. So, Tom, was Chloe's bar the public bar in those days?
Well, it was not a public bar so much as a sort of what they called a lounge or...
So was she actually a person at the bar with the paint, or just the painting?
Just a painting.
Just a painting, okay.
She's well known.
Well, that'd be a bit disappointing for the New Zealanders.
she was well known.
So is she still there? Do you know she's still there?
She's upstairs now.
Yeah, she's been shifted upstairs, but she's still there.
Oh, my golly.
And there.
So if you go to Melbourne, you've got to go and see Chloe.
Chloe's bar.
So I poked around Melbourne a bit, and I had a motorbike when I was... up at the dam, and I bought a motorbike much against the grain of my parents. 1938 Ariel, 350.
Okay.
Do you want that out from under
£25 I paid for it.
How much, Tom?
£25.
Ooh, that's good.
So I did a lot of touring up at the dam around from that.
So that was going on in the bush? Sort of area was it? Was it open scrub or what sort?
Gum trees.
Lots of gum trees.
Plenty of gum trees.
And good roads to go, or just dirt?
Metal roads. Yeah, so So I enjoyed my time there.
So how long were you there altogether?
Just on 7 months.
Mm. Mm. And then you came home?
Then I came. I had to come home to my 21st, which was in November. And in the meantime, my mother had taken ill. And, yeah, so we had the 21st, and my mother had to go down to Christchurch, to Dunedin, and have a big operation down there. And after a couple of years, I think. Mm.
Less than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably 12 months later, she passed away.
Mm. Why down to Dunedin? Mm.
Tell them why you didn't go back to Australia, because that was your intention after your mum.
Oh, I met some Sheila.
Happens, doesn't it?
I asked her if she'd wait for me while I went back for another.
But she said no. Did she really?
God, I was only 20. Why would I hang about?
Right, okay. So, that young Sheila's still here now.
Yeah.
61 years later.
That wasn't too bad.
No regrets then, just there.
Yeah,
but Tom, getting back to work, particularly the engineering shop, you eventually went back there, didn't you, after a few other jobs in New Zealand, didn't you?
Yeah.
Under a different owner by that time? Or no, not yet?
No, not yet.
So you did various jobs back in New Zealand, then you came back to Ashurst, and the place where you did your apprenticeship, you went to work for them again?
I came back to Ashurst and I worked in Ashurst here.
So when were you married? You weren't married then, you just didn't go back to Australia
She still waited
in Ashurst while you did various things elsewhere?
No, I came back to Ashurst and stayed here.
Oh, you stayed here and did a few other jobs.
Yeah, I worked for the local transport company here for a while and did odd jobs and that sort of thing. And eventually my previous boss came up to me one day in the street.
Was that Mr. Patton?
Yeah. And I said, "Listen, Tom, are you coming back to work or what?"
So how would it feel, Gary, if you'd done your apprenticeship and you'd moved on? Do you think, was it natural for you to go back and work there, or would you think, well, you've moved on from that now?
No, I never felt,
It's just a nice place to be, and why not do it?
Because surely with the experience you'd had in Aussie, you would have been streets ahead of what was happening here.
Yes and no.
Okay.
But I bet you felt a lot more useful when you came back.
I'd learnt a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd learnt a lot. And as it happened, my standing in the business had risen.
I bet.
So instead of being the boy around the place, I was now a tradesman. And with a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah.
But more than I had.
Had a heap of knowledge.
Yeah. And there'd be more people working there by then?
There was starting to. Yeah, so anyway, Mr. Patton eventually sold the business to Mr. Guy and Mrs. Guy.
Doris and Jack.
And this, by now, the business had grown, if you can understand. It wasn't just a blacksmith shop anymore. It was now an engineering shop. So I got involved more in this buildings and that sort of thing, and the design. And that sort of thing.
Using all the maths and stuff.
And the plans, drawing the plans up.
So you were happy with that?
Because
it was practical.
Then I was out on the job putting them up. And we did a lot of wall sheds and that sort of thing, and we employed carpenters.
So you'd basically do the whole thing with subcontracting the other...
Yeah,
they were actually on wages, weren't they, the carpenters?
We employed the carpenters.
Fully employed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have to get consent from the councils and that sort of thing? You did.
All that sort of crap. Not so much as what it is today, but yeah, had to go to the councils.
Because they were massive buildings.
Tom, did you become foreman on the external, on the outside, or what we called the outside gang then, or was that later?
Yeah, I was foreman on that.
Yeah.
But then...
at the age of what? You were still young.
Probably 22, weren't you? 23.
Yeah. Well, you did really well.
Yeah. We're doing what he liked doing, James.
Yes. Mm.
Amazing. Makes a difference.
So then this Ted Hughes, my foreman, he left. So I was made foreman in the workshop then. I came back into the workshop and did the one. This is where I started doing all the design work and that sort of thing.
Amazing.
And over a period of years, we did a lot of...
So if you drive around the area now, do you look and say, ah, yes, I put that up and I put that
You wouldn't believe. We go ticky-touring. Oh, we put that chair up. We put that chair up. And I thought, well, they're built like brick, whatever it is. And
they're solid.
And they're still standing.
Yeah,
we did a lot up the valley. And
How interesting. So you did build the one up on Saddle Road, did you? Did you build the one on Saddle Road? The woolshed, our woolshed on Saddle Road?
No. Your woolshed, no.
You did that one.
The interesting thing is, too, that when Tom was on the external gang doing the construction, that was for probably the first 6 years of our married life. And it was only when our second child was born that instead of him working away and living in a caravan with the gang during the week, he actually was home weekends. And that was
So he's away a lot of the time.
A lot of the time on the outside gang until Ted left, as Tom was saying, and he became
foreman.
And you were sort of the house, housewife and mother and things at home.
Oh, I had a great mother-in-law and a great mother. I was fine. In a little old cottage with a tin bath.
It's all you need, really.
Yes, you had a coal range that didn't work very well.
Sounds like Saddle Road. So Tom, did all the builders and everybody stay on the job in caravans?
Yeah.
All did. So who owned the caravans? The business?
The business owned the caravan. It was it was 1, 2, 3 of us.
Okay.
Mostly.
So how long would it take to put up a barn? You'd have it all sort of, was it largely sort of pre-made and then you just assemble it?
Well, it depends on the size of it. Yeah. A lot of them we put up in a day, you see.
Okay,
for a couple of days. It was only when we got onto the big jobs like woolshed and that sort of thing, which took up 3 weeks or a month, you see.
Tom, did you transport a crane to do those jobs?
Or? We had our own, which we designed as
had a big truck with a crane on it, didn't you, that you'd built, sort of.
Now, was there much awareness then about earthquakes and earthquake risks with construction?
Well, anything that was any size had to be designed or looked at by an engineer. So that covered that. Then it was passed by the engineer. It had to go to the county clerk or whoever it was of the county or wherever it was, and he would agree with it.
Have the standards changed, do you think, for that sort of construction?
Yeah, got a lot tighter.
Tom, there was no scaffolding, was there?
No.
And you guys were walking on the purloins on equivalent of a story and a half or two story buildings, just walking on these boards. No scaffolding, no ropes around them or anything. And hallelujah, they never had an accident.
No accidents?
They walked like monkeys on these.
You used to put two ladders together, you know, rope them together.
Yes.
Extension ladders to get up there.
I should have a blue fit.
Oh, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they?
So do you think that people were just more careful then? Because sometimes they say if you have a lot of safety devices, people just relax and get casual, then you have the accidents.
I think we had a pretty good gang. guys.
Yeah.
Usually Swedes. And,
Tom, you didn't have helmets or goggles much. Only your goggles for welding, but not otherwise.
No.
And no helmets, did you?
No.
And no ear muffs either?
No.
No. Save a lot of expense, Jane.
Yes. Except when it came to buying hearing aids at the end of the day.
ACC.
Yeah, so we did all that.
Of course.
Industrial.
Hooray. Yeah.
Built lots of buildings all over the country.
Yeah. Yep. Mainly rural, maybe farm type buildings?
Yeah. Did a little bit of tech in Palmerston. A little bit of that.
Didn't you work a bit in the library in Palmerston, the spiral staircase?
No. Was it the library or the. Not the library, the. Yeah, you know, the.
Oh, the Civic. The Civic Complex, was it?
Museum.
Art Union. The arts.
Art gallery. Yeah, we did the staircase in there.
Because there was an architect here called. What was his name? Taylor. Wasn't he? And he had a connection with that, and his wife was involved with the art gallery. And then you also did steel, one of the very first steel framed houses. Under that architect, he asked you to do the construction
that,
of that.
It's just up the road up here.
Up Harbin Road.
Yes, rings a bell.
Yeah.
So when did you buy the business?
That was unusual, yeah.
That was in 73.
Yeah, Jack and Doris Guy came to you, didn't they, and said...
Yeah, came up home one night. Sat down and said, you want to buy the buildings?
So you would have been early 40s, late 30s.
Late 30s.
Yes, yeah.
And you jumped at it, did you? Or you?
Well, yeah, sort of had we had to think about it.
I bet you did.
Hardly had any money.
And we didn't have any money.
Had good relations and a good bank manager.
Okay, yeah. This is part 4 of 5. Tune in next week for part 5.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.